we are blessed. I pray, Lord, that we are grateful. When I think of singing that song and holy, that you are holy, and yet you came to this sinful world. Clothe yourself, Lord, in the flesh of man. Not sinful flesh, but the flesh. That you would be baptized in the dirty Jordan. Born in Bethlehem, lived in Nazareth, and would die on a rugged cross. And yet you remained holy. Lord, I pray that we cease striving. We relax in you. We rest in you. Lord, that we know you're an awesome God. We pray, Father, that you would go before us tonight. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that we would receive in the Spirit what the Spirit has to say to the church. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies, for your grace, for your kindness that leads to repentance, for your love that cannot be measured. Lord, I just pray that you would do a mighty work among us tonight. Minister as only you can. Our faith is in you. We're trusting in you. And we know, Lord, unless God reveals God, we get nothing. So meet us here tonight, Lord. We love you and praise you and ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You can open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2, please. Divine kingdom. We're going to look at again the stone and the last kingdom that will be raised. The secret is revealed. The dream has been revealed. Only God can reveal. We remember that Daniel began by wanting not to pollute himself with the king's food. He didn't want to be part of the Babylonian way of life, but yet he was chosen to actually work with Nebuchadnezzar, for Nebuchadnezzar. Obviously, Babylon is a picture of the world. It's a picture for us, not to get caught up in the worldly things. I started thinking that, you know, I vote because I'm a good civic, you know, I'm a good like that. I vote so I can complain. So whoever's there, I can say, well, I didn't vote for them. You know, I don't know why. But you can get caught up in those things. You know, you can get caught up in anything in the world today. And I think there's a lot of people that do. There's two kingdoms. There's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of heaven and there's the kingdom of earth. Every single human being is living in one of those kingdoms. There's only two types of people. I don't care, you know, what nationality. There's only two types of people. Two. There are believers and there are unbelievers. That's it. There's only two destinations that we can go to. There's not three. There's only two. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Oh, I pray none of us are going to hell. I wish. I mean, I can't say I wish we had better pictures because God has so revealed it to us. But you know, it's not a difficult thing. It's just putting faith in Him and trusting Him and receiving a revelation and receiving what He has, what He's giving. Remember Daniel and his friends? They were going to be put to death because the magicians couldn't figure out the dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he wanted them to tell him what the dream was about as well as interpret it for him. They all admitted that only the gods could have done such a thing. There's no human being that could have done that. So Daniel grabbed his three friends. They had a prayer meeting. They just seek the Lord, and they waited for that revelation. God reveals it to Daniel, the exact dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And rather than running to Nebuchadnezzar, no, he runs back to the throne room, and he just gives praise to the Lord. He gives glory to Almighty God, and he's so grateful that God revealed it to him. Seeking revelation from God, the Lord was faithful to reveal. How important in the day and age we live in to stay focused on Jesus and let go of the things in this world. I'm not a prophet. I don't know what's coming down the pike. But I know this. God's called us to be prepared. And preparation begins in the house of the Lord. God is preparing. Listen, God's preparing us for eternity, ultimately. I mean, that's the whole preparation. You know, this isn't home. We're going home someday. And when we get home, we're going to know we're home. And we're going to be there forever. You know, but this isn't home. In the meantime, it's just preparation. But today is also a preparation for tomorrow. And tomorrow will be a preparation for the day after. And if we're truly seeking the Lord, if our hearts are fixed upon him, just like Daniel's such a great example, he's taken into captivity. Listen, he walked with God. He obviously was a man of God, a young man at that, a teenager. And so was the three Hebrew boys that were with him. And they were taken in, but they were smart kids, good-looking kids, strong kids. And then Nebuchadnezzar thought, I'll use them for my kingdom. I'll use them to teach the ones that are coming in that are in captivity. And they're going to learn the language. They're going to learn the culture. And they're going to be just like Babylon. No, they're not. No, they're not. And we have that same choice in the way we live our lives. Listen, I worked in the world for a long time. And I get it. You know, and I go to the gym and I hear the talk and the garbage and the PMs, we used to call them, potty mouths, you know? And it's like, there's no filter on them. And I get it. But you don't have to enter into that. You don't have to be a part of that. You just don't, you know? So we have a choice. And we have the same choice that Daniel had. Daniel was taken into captivity. We're living in our country, you know? It doesn't look like it used to when we were kids. But we're still living in our country. I still love America. And it's like, whatever it ends up to be, it shouldn't change who I am in Christ. It shouldn't have any bearing on who I am in Christ. Listen, you can lock us up, but you can't steal our freedom. You can take everything from us, but we're still the richest people on earth. Because we have Christ, we have his inheritance, we have so much waiting for us and so much given to us now. The blessings are overwhelming. If we just stop and cease striving and look at them, what God has given and what God has done for us. We're not alone. We're never alone. He said he'll never leave us as orphans, that he's always going to be there, never leave us nor forsake us. And he's with us till the ends of the earth. Well, it goes beyond that. Yes, on this earth. But when we're in heaven, we're going to be in his kingdom. It's a divine kingdom. It's not a kingdom of this world. It's something far greater. And so Nebuchadnezzar's dream, when he has his dream and he sees this massive statue and it's the head of gold and then it's, you know, the arms and the breast of silver and then the waist and then it's bronze. And he goes through this whole thing and Daniel sees it for what it is. And he says, they're all kingdoms. And it's shaped like a man. Because we build kingdoms in our lives. We've built kingdoms. You know, I love to build kingdoms around is the bad times in my life in the past or things that I endured in my childhood or what have you. And back in that day, we used to get high and we drank and we did it at a young age because we masked our emotions and our feelings. And that's what we did. But you know, in reality, what I did? I built a kingdom. I built a kingdom, and I was hoping that it was a fortress that nobody would penetrate. Till I realized that it kept me in bondage. I wasn't free. And I wanted freedom. I wanted to be released. I wanted to know that God was all that I needed and that I was going to be able to just rid myself of anything in the past and realize that it was all part of God's plan. That takes time. That takes time to enter into that and to allow the Lord, that stone, the stone, Jesus Christ, to come down and take down the kingdom. And that's the picture for you and I tonight. Is to listen, allow him to destroy the kingdoms that you've built in your life. And we've all built them. Listen, I know I have. I know I have. You know, it's interesting because if you lost the parents at a young age, and some of us have, there was no grieving. Like, nobody came to you and said, this is the stages of grieving. You know, this is how you're going to handle it. Listen, this is what you're going to do. It wasn't that. It was you get up the next day, you go to school, and you live life. And there was none of that, you know, wait a minute, stop striving. You know that I am God. There was none of that. It was just do the next thing. And that's the way we live life. And so we get older as adults, and we enter into our Christianity, and Jesus saves our wretched soul, and we think, we just keep going. And as we keep going, we see roadblocks along the way. We see things in our lives that are hindering us from receiving everything that God has for us. Daniel wasn't going to allow that to happen in his life. We don't know any of Daniel's sins. I love that. I love that because that's the book that God's writing for me. There's no sins in the book that God's writing for me. Lamb's Book of Life, it doesn't have any sin in it. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm in it. My whole life is in it. There's no sin. But yet we read about David, and we all know David's sin. He hung his dirty laundry out on the rooftop. We've seen all of it. Be separate. If there's one thing I'm learning about Daniel, he was separate. He separated himself. In the midst of it, he separated himself. You know, there's people that did a lot of jail time, and I remember seeing a book, and it said it was free on the inside. You could be more free behind bars than most people walking the streets today that think they're free, and they're not. They're not. It's all about relationship. You know, we serve a God that created all of this. We're in love with a God that is in love with us. We love because he first loved us. When we look at everything that God has given to us, how can we ever sit around and not be happy and you know, sit around pouting as though God dealt us a bad hand? No, it was the hand that he dealt us. Listen, we all grew up maybe in different ways or different areas, different parents. Obviously, we all had different parents. That's a beautiful thing. We all got the same father, though. But we all come from different walks of life. But yeah, we're one. God says we're one. We're in unity with each other. That's only God can do that. Only the Lord can do that. Look at verses 44, beginning in 44. I'm just reading 44 and 45. It says, in the days of those kings meaning the four world powers that will take place, but only Babylon was the world power at the time. It says, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. Every one of those kingdoms, when Babylon was gone, it was left to the Medes and the Persians. When the Medes and the Persians were all done and they had world power, it was the Greeks. Alexander the Great came. And then when they were done, it was the Romans. And then they took power. And it was always left to someone else. But when the Lord sets up his kingdom, he's not leaving it for anybody. It's the forever kingdom. It says, it will be crushed and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation, I love that, is trustworthy. It's trustworthy. Daniel was so confident in what God had shared with him that he had no problem being bold to Nebuchadnezzar and telling him exactly what the dream was and then interpreting it. The dream was one thing. I mean, the statue, you know, big deal about the statue. But when Nebuchadnezzar realized he was the head of gold, that prompted him right up. I mean, he was so full of pride. But he thought he had something to do with all of it. Huh. It wasn't Nebuchadnezzar who conquered nations and kingdoms. It was the God who enabled him to do it, who gave him his empire. Look at chapter 2, verse 37. It says, you, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hands and has caused you to rule over them. You are the head of gold. You're the head of gold. Listen, God has the wisdom to plan the ages and the power to execute his plan. How many people are in God's plan and they don't know it? How many people are part of God's grand plan and they don't know it? They don't even know it. I'm glad we know it. Nebuchadnezzar ruled from 605 BC to 562 BC. But the Lord Jesus will reign forever and ever, and his kingdom shall have no end. No end. It says it was crushed and put an end to all these kingdoms, to all these kingdoms. And then the divine kingdom comes. But I want you to see something. In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We cannot enter the divine kingdom without divine power. And so 2 Peter 1:3 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Verse 4, it says, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So Daniel escaping the world's corruption, Peter says that we can do the same thing. How? Through divine nature. So we need the divine power, that's Jesus. We need the divine nature, that's the Spirit, in order to be part of the divine kingdom. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 12, God gave me a bunch of Bible verses tonight. He says, for the nation and the kingdom which will not serve you will perish. So every nation and kingdom that does not serve the Lord, i.e. Babylon, says they will perish. They will perish. And the nations will be utterly ruined. So when you see, you know, you look at all these nations today and there's so much propaganda on the TV. It's ridiculous, you know. When they tell me to hate somebody, I'm going to like them. They tell me to like somebody, I'm going to hate them because it's just the opposite. But that's just my way of thinking. Everything's paradoxical with the Lord anyway, so I'm going to run with that. But the reality is you can't trust what you hear. You can't. But this is what I do know, my Bible. And this is what I know I can trust is the Scriptures. And I know that when the Lord says that these nations aren't going to last, but his nation is, I'm glad I'm part of his nation. I'm American, but I'm born again, Bible believing, blood bought Christian first and foremost, before anything else. Well, listen to 1 Corinthians 15:24. It says, then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has established all rule and all authority and all power. When the Lord Jesus sets up his kingdom, he says, here you go, Lord. He gives it all to the Father. Here you go. He earned it. He bought it. He received it back. 1 Peter 1:11 says, for in this way, the endurance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Abundantly supplied to you. So God's not just giving us a little place in the kingdom. He said, you're going to rule with me, and it's abundant. All the supplies that I have are yours. That's what it means to be co-heirs. Co-heirs says everything that God has, we have in the same amount. In the same amount. So God can give us all his grace, and he still has all his grace. He can give us all the riches of heaven, and he still has all the riches of heaven. That's way better. That's better than just having a portion. That's like, I'm not just having a seat at the table. Like, it's my party. You know what I'm saying? We establish that Jesus is the rock. He's the stone. The scriptures were Psalm 118:22. Isaiah 8:14, 28:16, 1 Peter 2:6-8. In the scriptures, a mountain is often a symbol of a kingdom. It's a kingdom. We're talking about a divine kingdom here. 2 Samuel 7:16, it says, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established, how long? Forever. Forever. At his return, he will subjugate all kingdoms to himself, thus bringing them all to an end. All of them, every one of them. Listen, Revelation 11:15, it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. The kingdom of the world, the Babylonian, you know, push of the world, and the Antichrist running everything, running the show, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes and it's, nope, not your kingdom, not your kingdom. It's the Lord's. And he'll rule there in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years, and then he'll rule in the eternal state forever and ever. Divine power for a divine nature, to live in the divine kingdom. It's the only way. The rock is Messiah. Zechariah 3:9, it says, behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts. And I love this. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. What do you think that's speaking of? That's the cross. That's the cross. He will remove the iniquity in one day. Jesus paid for all of our sins. All of our sins and the sins of the nation. The final superpower of this world is thought to be the revived Roman Empire. A continuation of this image. That's why it sounds like it just flows all the way up until today. And it does. It does. There'll be 10 nations. Whether it's the EU or whatever, there'll be 10 nations. They will run the show. They will be the ones making the decisions. Huh. And it'll be a revived Roman Empire. I believe Antichrist will come out of that. That's just my opinion. That's not thus saith the Lord. The interpretation was trustworthy because it came from God, who holds the destiny of nations in his own power. He knows what will take place in the future. But it matters what it is to us. Listen, praise God for the stone the stone is Jesus. But praise God for the wind, because the wind is the Spirit. If you need to go left, but look at verse 34 in chapter 2. You continue looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. And watch this. And the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. This is how the Lord deals with our kingdoms. We build them. He sends the Lord Jesus and his Spirit. He crushes it. He takes it down, says, you don't need that. And his mercy is there to clean up after our mess. It just sweeps up the mess. Jesus is the one who breaks it down. We truly need to deal with our old kingdoms in our lives to move forward in this world. If we do, then Jesus will rule our lives like a great mountain. Being the King himself, he will become greater and greater and greater and greater. I love how much so many folks in the fellowship are growing. It's amazing. It's from people that have been saved 40, 50 years, and you just see how much they're just loving on the Lord. And the Lord, it's that stone that comes down, crushes their kingdom, and then it says that the stone just keeps growing, and it keeps growing. Listen, if you're not going forward, you're going backwards. Because God's intent is always for us to go forward. It's always for us to learn more, to grow, to be drawn closer to him. No man, the Bible says in John 6:44, no man comes to the Father lest he draws them. So God's drawing us. In Hosea, it says he's drawing us in Hosea 2 with cords of love. So the Lord's just pulling us. He's pulling us. He's drawing us. He's drawing us. And he's saying, I have so much for you. I have a fresh revelation for you today. And it's like, oh, really? And I feel like most of us, maybe not all, but maybe, hopefully all, you know, we're like little kids. We can't wait to just sit at the Father's feet and tell me more. Tell me more. What else is there? What, the world? Really? Like the riches of this world? Like, listen, the Lord gives it and the Lord can take it away. You can have it all and then you can lose it all. I know people's testimonies that had hundreds of thousands and they blew it all on addiction and now they know the Lord and they're walking hard with the Lord. I'm thinking of Mary Lou, you know, and she's, I wouldn't change a thing. And for somebody to say that where they're at now, because their relationship with Christ is priceless. You can't buy Jesus. It's priceless. I love Colossians 3:3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's divine kingdom. That's where I live. I can't not live there. My life is hid with Christ in God. I'm in God. I'm engraved in the Savior's hand. When he says no one can snatch me out of his hand, that's because if you open his hand, it's got an engraving. There's a hole there. It's my hole. It's mine. Listen, with the revelation comes reward. 2 Peter 3:18, it's that we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It began with Daniel keeping the world away in his eyes on Jesus. Now watch Daniel. Now Daniel wasn't looking for anything other than saving his own life. Right? We agree? I mean, he was going to die. Remember the The guy went to go get him, and it turns out he was the executioner. He went to go get Daniel, and, oh, get your three buddies too, because you're all dying today. Okay. But he asked for more time. Nebuchadnezzar gave him the time, and where did he go? Right to the throne room of heaven. He went to prayer. And God set him free, and so that's all he was looking for. But watch what happens when you keep your eyes on the Lord. Verse 46. It says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God. Now listen, Nebuchadnezzar was a polytheist, which means they, just like the Egyptians, they believed in many gods. They had a god for everything. And so they weren't just looking at the Lord as the God, but he was one of. And that's why it says, your God is a God of gods. He had no problem exalting him above, but he still wouldn't say he's the only. He says, a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. Since you have been able to reveal this mystery, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, Daniel wasn't looking for any of these promotions. I'll bet Daniel didn't want any of these promotions. But as we go on in the book of Daniel, you'll see how important it was that God put him in those positions. But watch verse 49. It says, and Daniel made a request. I love that. He was so bold. Like the king, right? He's talking to the king, the world leader. He's like, oh, by the way, king, how about one more thing? How about it? He says, and Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. What an awesome picture that Daniel says, if you're going to promote me, you got to bring these guys along. You got to bring them along. And then when we go to the next chapter where they end up in the fiery furnace because they won't bend down to the statue, you could see why they had boldness not to do it. They had some position, but they figured, listen, if God spared us once, he can spare us again. And if he doesn't, so be it. So be it. I mean, what are we living for? What's the purpose of life? People think, you know, the whole purpose of life is to make man happy, is the happiness of man. It's to the glory of God. It's to the glory. In that glory, you can have joy. I have joy. You can't steal my joy. You can crush my happiness. I can be happy, you know, real happy about things and everything's going along and then stuff doesn't go along the way you want it to go and you're not so happy. But you never lose your joy. Joy is eternal. You can't. Like, you can't lose that. We should have more joy. We should walk in that joy we have, I should say. Nebuchadnezzar, he recognized Daniel. He recognized Daniel's God. Listen, even then, there were two kingdoms. There was the kingdom of Babylon, which ruled the earth, and there was a divine kingdom of God. Daniel lived his life in the divine kingdom. You know, he may have been in the Old Testament, but he was as new covenant as anybody. Did he see Jesus? He saw Jesus. Did he believe in Jesus? He believed in Jesus. Jesus. There was no doubt about that. Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel's God, his God, was the revealer of the mysteries. Have you ever had someone look at you and want your God, your God, the Jesus that you worship? Because something's different. We're not the same as the world. We should be different. Doesn't mean we you know, necessarily have to act or speak, but we will. We will. Our vernacular changes. In the gym, you know, when people say, I'm like, yeah, amen. You know, amen just seems to be the right thing to say for me all the time, you know. But if I agree with somebody, I say amen. I agree with that. But we change. The way we think changes. The way we act changes. You know why? Because there's a divine power that changed our divine nature because we're part of the divine kingdom. And once you're part of that kingdom, you can't not be a part of that kingdom. If you're truly a part of that kingdom, you cannot not be a part of that kingdom. Like, you can't stop being in the kingdom. Because if you ever wished you were out of the kingdom, you probably never were in it to begin with. Because once you're in it, you know what you want? More. When you have Jesus, there's only one thing you want. More Jesus. And when you know what happens, you get more Jesus, right? We got Jesus all the time here. And we get more Jesus, and we get excited, and you think that we're sad. No, we're not satisfied. We want more Jesus. And I'll tell you, until all eternity, and for all eternity, we'll still be saying, we want more Jesus. We want more Jesus. Nebuchadnezzar was led to confess, Daniel's God is superior to all the gods of Babylon. He didn't get it yet. He'll get it. You know, we'll see when he gets it. He's going to spend 7 years out there, you know, in the wilderness and among the animals, and it's going to get ugly for him. But God will do whatever is necessary to draw his people to himself. Whatever is necessary. And, you know, Ed says, God will use the shortest route. Whatever that is. But God knows exactly what it takes and what is needed. And he will do just that. I guarantee you that. Daniel sat at the king's gate in verse 49. It's a place of authority. The Lord again turned the curse into a blessing. They were ready to die. Now they're on top of the world. Now they have positions that no one can take from them. Almost done. Few minutes. Chapter 2 underscores four great truths which Christians can ill afford to ignore as articles of faith. The first one is God and not man is sovereign in world affairs. God is. Okay, so however you watch the news, you know, watch it tongue in cheek and realize this, God's in control. God's in control of all of it. The second one, God has a plan for the world. He knows the beginning and he knows the end. And when the end comes, it'll be exactly when God said it would come. It won't change. Third, God is ordering history according to his plan. It's his plan, not man's plan. Man will make his plans, but God will have his way. God will have his way always. Finally, the kingdoms of this world are human and temporary. Only God's kingdom is eternal. So we are to honor God by putting him first, and promotion will surely follow if his will is for you. It's childlikeness. That's how we come, and that's how we remain. It's seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Listen, when Jesus comes and destroys your kingdoms and sits on the throne of your life, you will be promoted and become a child of the king seated at his table. Again, co-heirs with Christ. You can't get any more reward than that. All this is to prepare them for what is about to take place in the next chapter. Isn't it nice to know we belong to the divine kingdom? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Father God, oh Lord, how blessed the people we are, Lord. So grateful. So grateful. Lord, thank you for your word. So many examples, so many applications, so many principles, all filled with truth. Lord, thank you that we can glean from the saints of old. But Lord, the book isn't, the last chapter hasn't been written. We're all part of it. We're living it out, Lord God. Help us to keep our eyes on you and not on the things of this world. The things of this world are fading. They're temporal. But all that you are is eternal, Lord. So God, help us to live in the divine kingdom every moment of every day, giving you glory and seeking you continually. We love you and praise you and ask this in Christ's name. Amen.